Good morning and happy Sabbath to you. We are going to turn to Book of Luke, chapter 21, for a short scripture reading. As you know, Luke 21 is a chapter where Jesus foretells the time leading up to his second coming. And he is describing the events. And I'll read verses 10 and 11, Luke 21. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Today, we are going to focus on these signs in the heavens. But more specifically, we'll be talking about how Satan counterfeits these signs. So let's bow our heads as we pray. Father, we pray that you will guide us during this service. We pray that each of the Bible texts that we read will show a fulfillment in what we are seeing in the world today. And we pray that this will help us to get ourselves ready for your coming. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me talk to you about what happened in May 1986. This was something that happened in a rural part of Australia. Two brothers, Paul and Gary, were spotlighting for foxes. It was a cloudy night, and there weren't many foxes to be seen. Suddenly what they saw was two lights on the horizon. And Paul thought they were stars, but then they started moving very rapidly, and they could see the lights were coming towards them. They seemed to be moving very fast, and they were changing direction constantly. Looking sideways, Paul suddenly saw other lights. He counted 18 or more, and they were much bigger, and they were closer, moving towards them again, very fast, making U-turns without slowing down, which was, of course, impossible for any known type of aircraft. As you know, when you do spotlighting, you stand in the back of the ute. But Paul and Gary got a bit scared, so they quickly got down, got into the cab, and they decided they'd better drive away. And they didn't want to turn the lights on because they thought these lights would follow them. So, unfortunately, they had to turn the lights on in order to see. And it took them about 5 minutes to get back to the little shack where they were staying. They got into the shack and they could see through the windows the lights were getting closer. They seemed to be racing each other. And they were doing these impossible maneuvers at very high speed. No sound at all, just these lights. Paul and Gary were really scared. Eventually the lights disappeared, and Paul and Gary were able to get some sleep that night. But they didn't tell anybody about it, because they thought they would get ridiculed. They looked to see if there's any report in the paper or on the radio about it, but nothing. Finally, years later, Paul became a Christian, and he told the story to a trusted Christian person who was actually doing research on what we call UFOs. What are UFOs? Well, unidentified flying objects. And these are actually very common. The first reports of UFOs was in 1947, when an American businessman, Kenneth Arnold, was flying his own private plane in Washington State. And he saw quite distinctly 9 objects which looked like saucers flying in formation, and he could tell that they were moving past these landmarks, that they were going at about 1,200 miles per hour, which of course at that time was an impossible speed. And so these objects were given the nickname flying saucers by the media. And by the end of that year, 850 other sightings were reported. The American military began an investigation, and they called it Project Blue Book. And there was so much interest in these UFOs that many organizations started up to investigate these things. So some of these: Fund for UFO Research, Center for UFO Studies, Mutual UFO Network, and there was even a British publication called Flying Saucer Review. Some of these had field investigators who would actually go and check out the reports, find out, if they could, what was going on. And of course, some of the time, they managed to explain these UFOs as man-made phenomena. They found that sometimes they were weather balloons, sometimes they were a rare form of lightning called ball lightning, sometimes they were just kites or parachutes, or meteor showers. And as you can see, the military Project Blue Book, they checked out 12,618 reports, out of which only 701 were really unexplained. Many of these investigators started out studying it, and they were quite skeptical. But as time went by, they realized there were quite a few reliable people reporting these. And some people had actually taken photographs. And they looked at these photographs, and the experts were not able to say for sure if these photographs were fake. So there remained a bit of skepticism. But then in 1976, the American president, Jimmy Carter, he admitted that he had seen UFOs in 1969. And this is what he said: "It was the darndest thing I've ever seen. It was big, it changed colors, and it was about the size of the moon. We watched it for 10 minutes, but none of us could figure out what it was. One thing's for sure, I'll never make fun of people who say they've seen unidentified flying objects in the sky." So what happened is, of course, that a very reputable person confirmed that these sightings were real. So what do these investigators say about these things? Well, the editor of the Flying Saucer Review says that there seems to be no evidence yet that any of these craft or beings originate from outer space. Another expert said that despite the millions of sightings, and there have been many, many sightings, there's never been a single radar detection of a UFO entering the atmosphere from outer space. And he says UFOs have been fired upon by American pilots, Russian pilots, Canadian pilots, and yet not one UFO has been brought down. Note that these UFOs, they have been detected by radar, but just not coming from outer space. Now, the amazing thing is that these sightings have progressed from just sightings to actual contact. In Brazil, in 1957, a farmer named Antonia Villa Boas saw a light descending from the sky while he was driving his tractor. This oval object landed right in front of him, and then several small figures wearing suits and helmets came out, overpowered him, and took him on board the spacecraft. On board, he says, he was medically examined, and then, amazingly, he was forced into a mating ritual with a female alien. He was then returned to his farm and found that 4 hours had gone by when actually it seemed to be very quick. This experience sounds unbelievable, doesn't it? But it was the first of many such contacts reported around the world. One estimate of the number of such abductions from a survey in the USA suggested that 4 million Americans have been abducted by aliens. One point of difference between this Brazilian farmer's story and most of these others was that this farmer had a full recall of what had happened. Most of these other cases, they knew something had happened, but they couldn't recall it, and they could only get the details by putting them under hypnosis. Now, as soon as you hear the word hypnosis, you start thinking, don't you? There's something funny going on. So, most of these abductions followed a pattern. Usually they took place at night, either they were sleeping in bed or driving a car. The UFO appears as a light. The person suffers paralysis, or sometimes they just float up in the air. And they actually float right through the wall or right through the roof. And they're captured by these aliens. And some of them are gray in color, some of them have blonde hair. They usually have medical examinations with probes put into them. Some have surgical implants, and a few have these sexual encounters. And these aliens, they even speak to them telepathically, and they tell them that they are here to help the human race. And they tell them that they've been chosen for a mission. And they give warnings of future events. And strangely enough, the warnings take the form of biblical language. You know, they warn of a time of tribulation ahead. And they prophesy disasters to come. And they may tell the witness that there's a future mission we want you to accomplish when the time is right. But these prophecies are notoriously unreliable. One expert says, over 200 predictions by these encounter claimants have been offered over the past half century. And every one of them has failed to come to pass. Further belief in it is not recommended. And so, we read in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 28 and verse 9, and reading the last part of the verse, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. These UFOs certainly didn't pass that test, did they? These aliens have also portrayed themselves as divine beings, even claiming to be Jesus, or the Pope, or even dead spouses of the abductees. One well-known abductee even gives a name for the alien that he met, and a being called Semjes. And it's strange because two other abductees also reported meeting the same alien, Semjes. And Semjes has told them that the Bible has been edited wrongly. And then they give their own prophecies. They give a revised version of the book of Revelation. Another alien gave an alternate history of the world and explained a new way of salvation. They talk about the serpent people created mankind, and that was a serpent that's represented by the serpent in the Garden of Eden. So, once again we're reminded of the passage, Matthew 24, verse 24. There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. When these abductees return to their homes, they do suffer a bit of nausea or pain, but the most significant effect is that they often undergo a complete personality change. And together with that, they have a religious transformation. But of course, none of them have turned to God. They almost always turn to some type of New Age religion. Surveys have overwhelmingly shown that the majority of abductees subsequently develop an interest in New Age or occult or Eastern type mystical religions. And some of them actually develop psychic powers. One prominent abductee has had multiple abductions, and he was initially horrified by the experiences, but then he started to welcome them. He claims that these beings helped him to develop further occult talents, such as out-of-body experiences, astral traveling, and he started to link his experiences with religious ideas, even claiming that miraculous events in the Bible were actually carried out by these aliens. And so, this abductee eventually went into things like witchcraft and occult ceremonies. So, we can see that there's a pattern that's developing here. And let's turn to Revelation chapter 18. And this is one of the characteristics of the city called Babylon in the last days. Revelation 18:23. And if you just read the last part of the verse, For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And so we see that these UFOs, they're actually descending into things like sorcery. And so the experts have said that what it seems to them is that these UFOs, their purpose really is to change the philosophy of people's lives. Many people feel that they are just being slowly conditioned. They are just being slowly led to accept these occult practices and ideas. One expert has said that these manifestations seem to be just like what in past ages were called demons, demonological phenomena, like these vampire myths in the Middle Ages. And this is actually well documented, because we have a person named Saint Augustine of Canterbury, not the Augustine of Hippo that most people know of, but this was someone who started the Christian church in southern England. And he's saying that there are many trustworthy people who have reported these things, that these sylvans and fauns, in other words, what we would call fairies, have actually tormented women. And these demons are also using such impure practices. And there are so many reports by such reliable people that you can't doubt it. So, this is what expert, so-called scientific people are now saying, that many of these reports are actually just like demon possession. And these things have long been known to people who study demonology. It's not a crackpot idea now. And what they're saying is that the victims of these UFOs suffer the same symptoms as the victims of demon possession in the past. One professor from Harvard who's been working on the psychiatric problems of these abductees have said that most of them had previous experience with New Age philosophy. They were into things like tarot cards, astral projection, and so on. And after their abduction, they go even deeper into this New Age type of activity. But there was one group of researchers that founded a group called CE4. Now, CE4 is just a code word for Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind. I mean, this is defined as an actual abduction. These two researchers decided to ask a different question. They asked, are Christians being abducted? And one of them, Wes Clark, he said, I did believe in God, but was not very spiritual. Joe Jordan himself was a New Ager, but they thought, nobody has ever looked into this, and we have a hunch that we're onto something. So they soon realized that there are actually two types of Christians. Now, this won't come as a surprise to us, but this came as a surprise to these two people doing the research who were, well, one was only a nominal Christian. You see, they said the Christians who reported the abduction experiences tended to people who just intellectually believed. but they didn't apply it to their own lives. They were what they called, they weren't Christians who walked the walk. They were Christians who just talked. And so they thought, well, where are these other Christians? Because they found that just about people from all walks of life were being abducted. Muslims were being abducted, Buddhists were being abducted, and of course some Christians were being abducted, but not the real genuine Christians. Where were they? Then they recalled that there was one person that they had interviewed, and his name was Bill D. And this is what Bill D had to say. Bill was lying in bed at his home in Florida in 1976. Earlier that evening, he had seen some lights in the sky through the living room windows. And he thought, well, there might be police helicopters looking for somebody. And his dogs were barking. They were agitated. And the dogs didn't stop. They just kept on barking. And he couldn't stop them. He couldn't quiet them down. So eventually he went to bed. But he couldn't sleep. And suddenly, he felt paralyzed. And he sensed that something was in the room. His wife was sound asleep beside him. Then he felt that he was floating up into the air. But it wasn't just floating. He felt that something was being stuck into his backside. And that was lifting him up. So that was very painful. And he was really terrified. He said, I thought I was having a satanic experience, that the devil had gotten hold of me. So helpless, I couldn't do anything. I said, Jesus, Jesus, help me. When I did, I had a feeling whatever was holding me up in the air was withdrawn and I fell. I hit the bed because I was like being thrown back in the bed. And he says, my wife woke up and asked, why was I jumping on the bed? But this was the first time that these investigators had ever heard of an abduction being stopped. And this happened just by calling on the name of Jesus. Following up on this, they wrote up their report, and then a newspaper reporter from the paper called Florida Today came and interviewed Joe and Wes for a story. And when they published this in the paper, immediately they got responses from many, many people. And they were reporting similar experiences of abductions being suddenly stopped because they called on Jesus. These people, when they interviewed them, they reported that they were Christians, but they'd been uncomfortable reporting their experiences because most of the investigators were skeptics. And so they didn't want to hear stuff like this. And of course, the article then made its way into the British Flying Saucer Review, which means it went from a little state in America to Europe. And then, of course, the response to that article was that people from all around the world started to report the same thing, that they had suffered abductions, but the abductions were suddenly stopped just by calling on Jesus. So, as the number of cases mounted up, the evidence was becoming increasingly difficult to ignore. So, what happened? Well, believe it or not, Joe Jordan becomes a Christian because of this. Amazing. But Joe continued to talk with other researchers, and the other researchers actually admitted to Joe, look, we have had cases like this, but we kept quiet. We didn't want to say anything because they had a prior commitment to New Age ideas and it would damage their reputation. And so they just ignore the facts. They didn't want to believe that this phenomena was actually a spiritual one and that Jesus could put an end to them. So, all that I'm telling you is actually been written up in a book that's published by Creation Ministries. It's called Alien Intrusion. And now Creation Ministries have actually made this book into a film. Alien Intrusion, the book, was the only Creation Ministries publication that made the top 50 bestseller list. And so there is a lot of interest in this. And they have made this into a film. So we know that this is a form of spiritualism, but it has the capacity to deceive a lot of people. And it's amazing that these researchers who went into this study, not even thinking that this would lead them to be confronted by God, they finally had to confront their doubts. And unfortunately, most of them chose to remain in their unsaved condition.
Hi, I'm John Schneider. This compelling new movie takes a deeper and honest look at the events, the beliefs, the experts, and the people that have shaped our beliefs in all things otherworldly.
I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. It was the mayhem surrounding the cover-up that created what's been called the Roswell incident.
I had multiple experiences with like little beings in my room.
It's global. We have reports now from 140 countries.
Our commanders and all told us just keep your mouth shut about it.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.
From our investigations, we were finding things that we just couldn't get answers for.
I was literally thrown into the bed.
I cried, help me. Jesus, please help me.
It's one thing to just deny. It's another thing to say, we believe you had an experience. But here's God's take.
When one takes a deeper look at this phenomenon, it reveals one of the most disturbing yet powerful affirmations of the truth of the Bible and Christianity.
I'm going to be very disappointed if UFOs turn out to be nothing more than visitors from another planet, because I think there could be something much more interesting.
That last person was one of the foremost experts on UFOs in the world. And clearly he's already accepting that there is a spiritual reason behind these things. So, this movie is going to be a very interesting one which exposes this type of phenomenon, what it is. And hopefully many people who are interested in aliens will come to see what the truth behind them is. So, it is being shown here And you can talk to me afterwards about how you can see it if you wish.